This is an audio archive edition of WINA's Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot, made available online by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network, cvillepodcast.com.
John Whitehead, he's the CEO and the founder of the Rutherford Institute, online at rutherford.org. That is the website. That's where you go. You learn. We'll talk about some of his recent commentaries in the national press, as well as his new book, The Freedom Wars, What You Can Do to Preserve Your Rights. First thing I have to ask you about is the fact that you're doing Good Morning America. You're doing all sorts of big national media hits about these body scanners. What's going on?
Yeah, we have a pilot named Michael Roberts who came to us. He on October 15th, he was flying out of the Memphis airport, and he showed up, and they had the full body scanners. First time he had confronted those. 4.5 years he's been going through the same checkpoint, through the metal detectors. And he objected to going through the full body scanner, saying it was a virtual strip search, and he thought it violated his civil liberties. And then they said they were going to do a full body pat down. He said, well, why don't you just put me through the metal detector? I've been doing this 4.5 years, x-ray my luggage. They did all that, and he was, of course, safe. And they wanted to pat him down, again, a full body frisk, what they call the slide now, where they go up into the genitals and they touch women's breasts. And we can talk more about that in a second, because yeah, a lot of women across the country, stewardesses, flight attendants, very upset with the touching of their bodies, but completely safe. So they escorted him out of the airport. He couldn't fly because he wouldn't go through the scanner and do the pat down. And so we have assembled a legal team, and hopefully next week we'll be filing a lawsuit against the federal government challenging these full body scanners based on the Fourth Amendment to our Constitution, which says that if you're going to do either full body pat downs or virtual or do any kind of strip searching of Americans, citizens, you have to have some reasonable suspicion that they're involved in some kind of criminal activity. We're not saying we're against the body scanners per se. As a first method of screening, yes, maybe. Secondary, the problem is we've researched them. I'd already written some about body scanners. The head of the Center of Radiology at Columbia University, plus four professors from the School of Biochemistry at University of San Francisco, have not come out against body scanners recently, saying that they're health hazards. They're telling pregnant women and young children not to go through them. They can cause gene mutation. The radiation is 20 times more powerful than anything you would get in the doctor's office. Just one time through can cause damage, but if you're a frequent flyer, medically, doctors are coming out now saying don't go through them. In Great Britain, if you're under 18, it violates the pornography laws to put people through them.
So it's like if you go through these one time, it's like getting 20 x-rays? Is that right?
Exactly, one time. If you're a frequent flyer, I would suggest.
Yeah, I mean, if you're going on one flight and you have to catch you have to make a transfer somewhere, then you got to go through them twice in one day.
If you don't care about your civil liberties and you don't want to get sick, I would say do the full body pat down. The full body pat downs are very invasive. That's become sort of one of the things that we've gotten besieged with emails in the last week or so. A lot of female flying, and we got one today from a 12-year-old girl who was pulled out of line, put through a body scanner, then patted down. She broke down emotionally. Her parents upset. They want to sue the government. So it's gotten pretty evasive. The slide method they're using is a lot of women complain about what they're touching. And
we can only imagine where the hands are going, and I would imagine that sometimes it's a male security person.
But supposedly now they're going to have females for females, males for males.
But it hasn't always been that case in the past.
The other thing about the scanners, as we've studied them, they don't pick up what's in body cavities. The former head of Israeli security, they don't use these at the Israeli airport, the most high alert airport in the world, because the Israeli security says they do not work, and they think they're very expensive. Where they basically came from was...
It's so American then of us to rush to use something that's so expensive that doesn't work.
It doesn't really do the job, yes. Because the head of security for the Israeli airport said he could put enough explosives up his cavity to blow up a Boeing 707. So he says they don't pick up what's in the body cavity, which is where they will, if you're really a serious terrorist. The problem is that they may be medically and probably are medically unsafe. They weren't thoroughly tested. Where they came from basically was, remember in the December 25th bumbling underwear bomber who put the lighter fluid in his underwear, whatever. Right after that, Michael Chertoff, who used to be head of Homeland Security under George Bush, went on television very heavily all over the place pushing the full-body scanners. He did not tell, unless asked, that he worked for a corporation named Rapiscan, which he was a lobbyist for. And
That's how it works.
They make the body scanners.
Yep.
And now the TSA, shortly thereafter, immediately bought $25 million worth of them. They'll be in every
airport. Michael made his money, didn't he?
He made his money.
Way to go, Mike.
But that's what we usually see. I heard the corporate state. Most of this stuff comes from corporations that heavily lobby not only our representatives but the White House. President Obama is the one that directed the use of stimulus money to buy these. So.
And where are they? We're talking with John Whitehead of the Rutherford Institute. The phone lines are open for your question, 977-1070. Full-body scanners, likey or no likey, that's the question for you, 977-1070.
Well, they're going to be in every airport eventually. A reporter from one of the New York newspapers just called me. They're putting them in the New York airport. So they're just slowly creeping around the country.
And just to clarify, the Rutherford Institute has brought suit or is bringing suit?
Yeah, we're preparing. We just got the case a week ago.
Yeah,
but we move quickly. We've got a legal team, some really top-notch lawyers who are both left and right-wing civil libertarians are really upset with the body scanners. And I think the thing about this is that it's come so fast that you don't have time to react if you don't file a lawsuit or object. Thank God this fellow Michael Roberts.
Yeah,
he's willing to lose his job over it. Now we have another a pilot who's come forward. She's one of the top female pilots, flies the Boeing. She's joined the lawsuit.
Yeah.
Plaintiff. She's one of the best.
You know, yet again, you have these entrenched special interests in Washington. The former big government official becomes the lobbyist for this corporation. He manages to get the government to buy all the stuff from this company he now represents.
Not thoroughly tested.
Not even tested. And then we're left to try to pick up the pieces.
And, you know, I keep emphasizing this, and we're at a point right now where our civil liberties are under siege like I've never seen them before. Last month, the Department of Homeland Security tested iris scanners at the Mexican border. Global Rainmakers, a large corporation, they've tested them all over the world. They've tested them in Iraq. That's testing. You know, it's like a fingerprint, but it's of your eye.
Yeah, yeah.
But they're going to be eventually everywhere in 10 years, according to Global Rainmakers. They're going to be used in the United States, which means that you won't be able to buy, sell. People who opt out of the system, you know, I mean, they're going to be able to track you wherever you go.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what it's come to. And I think that there are a few people that are standing up, and I think it's time to do that and see if we can slow the train down. We want to be secure, but we want it to be such that the Constitution is respected, and our health is respected.
Well, not when you have 12-year-old girls that are being, getting full body frisked at airports, and you've got machines that are giving you 20 times a normal X-ray. Eric is with us in Charlottesville. Eric, thanks for the call, buddy. You go right ahead.
Vic, I mean, I heard a commentator once say that these airports are being used as practically giant re-education camps, where we're being taught that it's acceptable for untrained people, including a large number of sex offenders that the TSA has hired, to harass us, to scream at us if we stand up when we don't like the fact that these untrained people are groping, as you said, 12-year-old girls who happen to be our daughters or pregnant women that happen to be our wives. If we ask why this is happening, they escort you out. They randomly search your cars as you're coming in. They can do this. If we don't resist now, then it's going to be too late, because the TSA and what they're doing with this stuff is both unnecessary, it's dangerous. They have a history of lying to the American people when they claim they would never keep any of these scans, that these scans were entirely anonymous. We know now that that's false, that they've saved tens of thousands of these scans. So the track record of this agency is bad, to say the least. And what it is setting us up for is even further repression. If people get used to the idea that you can't opt out without being so harassed and inconvenienced that you don't get to fly, and people begin to be quiet when other people start to ask questions and are even further harassed, then they're just going to keep ramping up this repression. So the time to stand up is now. I'm glad that flight attendants and pilots seem to be on the forefront of saying, no, we're not going to put up with this.
Eric, fantastic call as always. You interested in a copy of John's new book, The Freedom Wars?
I would love a copy of John's book.
Okay, hold on. Eric, he is on line one. We'll give him a free copy of John Whitehead's new book, The Freedom Wars. And he's spot on.
Yeah, right. It actually is a training camp. It's the way to condition us to accept fairly invasive practices. If scanners are acceptable in airports, sooner or later they're going to be in virtually every building. They're going to be in public schools.
That's what I was thinking while he's talking.
They're going to be on the streets.
What's happening at the airports is what's been happening in public schools for a long time, where we are getting a portion of our citizenry accustomed to unreasonable searches and seizures, intimidation, being watched. And when you get people used to that, they're less likely to question it if it gets any worse or if you see it in other places.
Most Americans don't question it. That's what I'm saying. There is a strong minority now that are questioning it. It's very, very good. And we're hoping a lawsuit will slow it down to some degree while we can think about it. Again, people like Michael Roberts, the pilot that we're helping, he's not against safe airports and security. They know what works. Pilots know what works. He told me, too, also, he said, it's amazing that a lot of the cargo that flies on the airplane with people after they've gone through all these scanners isn't even, most of the time, it's not even x-rayed by TSA. It says, so you're flying with what knows underneath you in the airplane after Americans are taking off their shoes. We had a pilot whom we just signed up today who may be a client. They actually rimmed his pants. They went down 3 or 4 inches into his pants and rimmed his pants. He was really upset. I can see that. I think it's, I think what's happened, and Roberts, the fellow that we're helping, when he said he didn't want to go through the scanner, they immediately got on the phone and started screaming, opt out, opt out, opt out. It was echoed down. The police came in. They got around it.
So he's instantly a threat.
He's instantly a threat, but it's a warning to other people.
Yeah.
You better go through the scanner or this is going to happen to you. One lady was detained 2 hours because she'd missed her flight.
John Whitehead is live in studio. He is the CEO and the founder of the Rutherford Institute, online at rutherford.org, a terrific website. His most recent book is The Freedom Wars. Let's give away a copy right now, shall we, to caller number 212. Caller number 2, Channing, for a free copy of John Whitehead's new book, The Freedom Wars. Give us a call. So before we leave that subject of the full-body scanners, you were telling me during the break that within the next decade, those scanners, full-body scanners, eye scanners, they could be in every airport. They could be in schools.
Yeah, Global Rainmaker is a very large corporation which makes the iris scanners, has said clearly in an article I read today that within 10 years, iris scanners will be a fact of American life, which means, and this is the key, is if you opt out of those systems, if you decide you don't want that to be tracked, basically it's a complete file of your body. You will not be able to buy, sell, operate in American society. There will be different people who will do that. With the full body scanners, if lawsuits like the ones that we're going to be involved in don't stop it, you'll have the full body scanners in airports. Eventually, they'll be in schools. They'll be everywhere. So there's a good chance that's going to happen anyway, unless, as I've written before, if people don't protest. I mean, the thing that we're waiting on is for Congress to do something. They provide absolutely no oversight for the president or what's happening in these situations.
Yeah.
That's why when I wrote something about the 2010 elections, I said, I see all this talk, but I see nothing about the surveillance state, the rise of the power of the presidency, a Congress that's basically, we know this, is controlled by lobbyists and the large corporations. There's 25 to 50 lobbyists per congressman.
And I want to talk about this recent essay.
I'll say one thing. Yeah. Every time we file a lawsuit, we do the money trail. When we got into the scanners thing, I had some student interns at the University of Virginia. I said, let's research where the money's coming. Who's doing this? We went back, Michael Chertoff. He said, there you go, the lobbyists. When you look at iris scanners, large corporations lobbying governments, the Department of Homeland Security now using stimulus money to buy them. Stimulus money.
Yeah. It's just unbelievable. And I want to talk about your thoughts about the recent election. And your commentary was titled, The 2010 Elections Full of Sound and Fury, Signifying Nothing. But I want to pick up on something you said. Just these entrenched interests of lobbyists in Washington representing corporate America. And more we see it doesn't matter who you send to Washington. They're going to carry the water for corporate America to the extent that you know, I think right and left, I think everybody is sensible enough to see that what the real power in this country today is Wall Street and corporate America and the businesses that have influence in Washington. It's not the voters who continue to be marginalized and continue to be cut up into little gerrymandered districts such that they, you know, are supposed representatives continue to pick their voters and not the other way around. And what comes to mind, John, is and I part of me hesitates to use the F word, but I'm going to use it anyway. And I'm not talking about Hitler when I say this, but by definition, fascism is the corporate state. It's control of your government by corporations and large business interests, by definition.
And in this country, you can call it fascism with a smile. That's the name of a great book, by the way.
Yeah.
By Bertram Gross, a former presidential advisor. But you're absolutely correct. $4 million was spent on this last elections by politicians to get elected. $4 billion. They're saying now, I read an article in the Associated Press, that it's going to be probably twice that much in 2012. You cannot run for office in this country and have a chance of getting elected if you don't have corporate support. Most candidates, let's put it that way.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
Who's really calling the shot and picking the people you're voting for is going to be people with money. And it's a sad commentary. The Supreme Court decision allowing corporations to put as much money as they wanted to corporate through the elections political campaigns, it made it even worse. So,
And right and left, when we see people take to the streets and carry signs, whether you're on the right or the left, the end result is the same.
Exactly. I mean, I had to think about this. If you have two candidates and they have to have $400,000 or more in some campaigns to run, where are they getting that money? It's not from people like me who can – I don't donate to political candidates. I don't think it's a good idea. But $5 or $10, I mean, it's coming from people who have money interests, sure. And it's coming from lobbyists, as we all know. I mean when you have a Congress that doesn't, it's just tough to get them to pass a bill, to do anything. They don't, you know, the president just acts unilaterally now. We have a semi-benevolent, I don't want to use the word dictator, but the president of the United States just does what he wants to do. Just like Obama. When it came time to buy the full body scanners, you would think Congress would either act one way or another. There's a bill in Congress, but it hadn't been passed. On the body scanner issue, but Obama just moves directly ahead and does it himself and issues executive orders doing whatever he wants to do. There's no oversight on the president now. And we saw that clearly under Bush.
Yeah, yeah.
The same as under President Obama.
But again, the point is it doesn't matter right or left, Democrat or Republican. It really doesn't matter anymore. It absolutely doesn't matter. I mean, it might matter around the fringes a little bit here and there, but at the end of the day, corporate America is going to do what it wants to do, and the people in Washington will continue to carry their water.
They'll carry their water. And the thing is that when you vote out there, and I encourage people to vote, but I say that's the least you can do in government today. I mean, if you don't like red light cameras in Charlottesville, I mean, the science shows that they're highly doubtful they even work, and they're benefiting large corporations. Why aren't the people in Charottesville up in arms about this?
Yeah. I mean, well,
why are you and I the only two people talking about it?
That's what they did in Houston this past year in Houston, Texas, America's fourth largest city. There was a group that was formed called Citizens Against Red Light Cameras, and they managed to get a referendum on their ballot, and they lobbied. They were outspent 10-1 by the company that owns the cameras. And they still won. Voters came out and said, "No, we don't want these things in our community." And yet tomorrow here in Albemarle County at Rio Road, they're going to turn those on. And the smoking gun for me that absolutely proves that this is not about safety and it's about making money for Albemarle County and figuring out another way that the government can reach into your pocket and take your money is that one of the cameras they're installing is pointed at Rio Road. At a location in the intersection where over the last 3 years, the county's own studies show there have been zero red light running accidents. Not five, zero. But that they're pointing the camera there because that's where there's heavy volume coming through.
You know, the best way to stop people from doing illegal things at lights is a police car. That studies show that. A policeman just sitting there, a policeman standing there. So that works, but also, you know, in here, you know, the Daily Progress and the story they did reports that the company that the city has made a deal with here, the county, will retain is $50 per fine. And, you know, the county is, you know, they don't get any money until $10,000 are collected.
Yeah, the first $10,000 every
goes
month
goes to the corporation.
Goes to that company in Sydney, Australia. And that's money going out of our local economy to Australia. And the county expects to make millions of dollars because, you know, they send people this ticket. And one thing I've said on this program, but I want to give you the opportunity to say it to the listeners yourself, is you have told me that the Rutherford Institute is absolutely open to the idea of representing anyone who gets one of these civil tickets from this company.
We've yet to have anybody complain, except Coy Barefoot.
No one's called you yet and said, I'm concerned about this.
No, so anybody that's infringed upon, in other words, if you get caught with one of these fines, if you contact us, we'd look at your case. You'd have a client.
Yeah. Well,
and people are going to get caught. It's a half a second delay. That's all it is.
Oh, it's absolutely guaranteed that homes left and right are going to start getting these things in the mail.
Yeah.
All across Central Virginia.
So, and the question, you know, some studies show they actually increase rear-end crashes and collisions. So I'm sure, again, it's another government program that we're not sure whether it works or not, but it's put in place. But that seems to be how government works today, unfortunately.
Yeah. So instead of fixing the broken intersection with the overpasses that should be there, but the business interests don't want overpasses.
Or putting a policeman there.
Or even a policeman, or even extending the yellow light times, which will increase the safety. Every study shows that increases safety.
That's the fail-safe. Yeah, that works.
Yeah, so. But they refuse to do that. They just want to make money off of the broken intersection.
It appears so, yes.
We're talking with John Whitehead of the Rutherford Institute. He is live in studio. John, tell me about your new book, The Freedom Wars.
Yeah, The Freedom Wars is a small book, but it's potent, I think. It's dynamite, comes in small packages. It's called The Freedom Wars, What You Can Do to Preserve Your Rights. It goes through many of the issues that we're talking about today, the surveillance issues, basically how government's moved into our lives and basically are wrecking an Orwellian state. And I talk about some of the causes. One of the basic problems I see in the country is that Americans just don't know anything about their Constitution. Your average person today, listening to this program, by the way, how many people out there can, right now, as you're listening to me, can rattle off the five freedoms in the First Amendment? I've asked lawyers that. They can't do that.
Yeah.
In part three of the book, I go into some things I think you can do. It's direct citizen action. I mean, my heroes were Martin Luther King and people like that who actually went out and said, enough's enough. I may vote, but I'm also going to get me a picket sign. And I think that in your local communities, you can stop these things you don't like. And it's going to take, you know, getting together, getting I have some suggestions in my book, you know, connecting to the internet, getting your groups together, getting your friends in small groups saying, how can we affect this intersection? If we don't like the camera here, let's petition the government and keep your government held accountable here in Charlottesville.
Yeah.
That's what good. And the city officials should be begging for that. That's what it's all about.
Yeah.
Democracy.
Well, I've said many times on this program, where are the real conservatives in Central Virginia? A lot of whom listen to AM radio. Well, where are they? If they're on the Board of Supervisors, and they claim to be, they're sitting on their hands when it comes to letting foreign companies come in our community and put up cameras and to, you know, privatize our law enforcement in this way. And it's unbelievable. And where are the conservatives who would get angry and call them and form the groups to fight this? I'll tell you what, I think we're going to see a lot more interest when people start getting these tickets in the mail. That's when people are going to really get upset. And they're going to call you. They're going to call me. But hopefully they'll call Albemarle County.
It's the old frog in the water, you know, where you say the frog sits in the water and they boil the water slowly and the frog boils to death. That's what's happened to a lot of us. A lot of emails I received over the full body scanners in the airport case. Where were Americans when they first started doing all this stuff? Why didn't we object? We always assume, and here's the thing, we always assume that the government's there for our benefit. But as you've talked about, there are a lot of things that happen behind scenes in government in dark rooms with corporate lobbyists that are selling programs that are very expensive and taking our tax money for programs they haven't even tested, like body scanners may be medically unsafe.
Yeah.
And government, James Madison, up the road here where he lived, said it very clearly, we ought to mistrust all those in government. Not that they're evil or anything, but whoever you voted for in the last election, if you voted for Mr. Hurt, I mean, your obligation to Mr. Hurt is to mistrust him right now, and hold him accountable because they're human beings. Human beings do bad things. I mean, the history of the world shows that.
Thomas Jefferson told us that confidence is everywhere the parent of despotism. Free government is founded in jealousy, not confidence.
And he also said, let me hear no more confidence in men. Let's bind them down with the chains of the Constitution. And that's what it's all about. That's what the Freedom Wars is all about. I mean, it's going to take, if you think that you went and voted and did a good thing and go home and sit down on your butt and watched Glenn Beck or Keith Olbermann, you've lost the battle. It's not sitting on your butt. It's getting up and going down to the city council meetings, going to your local school board. And voting is the first, Henry David Thoreau said it. It's not how you vote. It's the kind of person you are when you crawl out of bed in the morning. And what he meant by that is go do it. don't wait for somebody else to do it, because they are not going to do it. You have to get people engaged. And that's all I've done it for 30 years, trying to get people engaged.
Yeah. We're talking with John Whitehead. He is the CEO and the founder of the Rutherford Institute, online at rutherford.org. His new book is The Freedom Wars. Gary is with us on the program in Albemarle County. Gary, thanks for the call. Go right ahead.
Hey, thanks a lot, Coy and John. This indeed is going to be a dark night in Albemarle County when those red lights go active. It's just absolutely disgusting. The point I have to make, and I'd like to have John react to it, is it just doesn't seem that people have time to get out there and protest or advocate or go to meetings. I've been to a couple meetings recently, you know, about local issues where there's 20 people there, but they're basically asking the representative that they're speaking to do the job for them. And I applaud the 20 or 30 that were able to get out to these couple of meetings. But most people, maybe not most, but a lot of people are working two jobs, three jobs. They're running their kids here and there. They don't have time to make a sign and stand on the intersection of Ryle Road and protest it. And in addition, they don't have the organization in place to get out there and get everybody together. I understand your comment about, you know, getting on the Internet and rallying your neighborhoods. We're in a neighborhood group out here. We have like 50-some families. We only have like about 20 people that are on the email list. People are too busy. It's not an excuse. It's just the reality. And I'd just like to hear your reaction.
Gary, thanks so much. It's a terrific call, as usual. Great input. We got a line open, 977-1070. John?
Well, there is a reason that everybody's working. We're working for the corporations. We eat corporate food. We wear corporate clothes. We drink corporate water. There's a reason for that. And so sometimes you have to step out of it. I mean, I work at night. I mean, I'm on my cell phone at 9, 10 at night talking to people. I think it's that important. I think there is an excuse there, but it's, at a certain point, like Michael Roberts, the pilot we're representing in the full-body scanner case, he's lost his job. He says, I don't care about my job. I care about freedom. That's what it will take. People are going to have to, you know, decide whether materialism is more important. And materialism is a very tough god to serve. It requires a lot from you.
Well, you know, those folks in Houston this past year who formed Citizens Against Red Light Cameras, I'll guarantee you every single one of them was very, very busy. Some of them probably worked two jobs, but they got the cameras out of their neighborhood. There will be no more cameras in Houston.
And you can do it.
Yeah, it is doable, and people set that example every day, whether you agree with them or not. You know, the local folks, Betty Mooney and Dee Dee Smith and Kevin Lynch and Richard Lloyd, the Citizens for a Sustainable Water Supply Plan, they're all busy, but they have volunteered thousands of hours over the last few years to go to meetings and do research and help to turn this around so that we don't have, a big government, incredibly expensive water supply plan. And what they have proved is that the existing 2006 water supply plan is based on a number of false assumptions. And they have shown that through citizen activism right here in our neighborhood. It can be done.
Government is lazy. And the only way it moves, it has to be prodded. It's not proactive. It's reactive. And the only way government moves, and that's key, folks, government is not proactive. It's real. It follows your lead. You know, I always say those three beautiful words that the Constitution begins in: "We the people." It's what it responds to.
Yeah.
And I mean, you can do it with emails, phone calls. Everybody can do their part, but I do think it has to be an organized effort.
And right now, they're following the lead of the loudest voice in the room, which is corporate America, which pays a whole lot of money to get the message out in the media and to put lobbyists in their office and at their front door. And I've done that. I've gone to these meetings in Washington. I've sat in the waiting rooms, and it is staggering. Every day, all day long the corporate lobbyists that are sitting in those waiting rooms and having those meetings. That's who they hear.
Exactly. Whatever the legislation you see. But, you know, again, I go back to people like Martin Luther King. I mean, sometimes he says you just got to sit down on the doorstep and not move. That is basically, and I talk about that in my book, The Freedom Wars. That sometimes is, and Howard Zinn says, civil disobedience is not the problem in America. It's civil obedience. We're just very obedient, compliant. And then when it happens, we start screaming. But sometimes, folks, by the time it happens, it may be too late.
Let's go to Chris in Earliesville. Chris, you're on with John Whitehead. Thank you for the call. You go right ahead.
Thanks. My question is, I think one of the biggest problems is the money involved in politics, and particularly elections and the fundraising. And based on the Supreme Court decision, I think it was about a year ago, I'm wondering, I'd like to hear your comments on what can be done to try and either reverse it or come up with a legislative way to get the money out of politics to the extent that it can be done.
Chris, thank you for the call. We appreciate it. John, that is a perennial discussion here and has been for a long time in America. It's not a new topic. And yet you'll have libertarians, Rick Sincere is on this program, and he said there's not enough money in politics. So clearly America is not of one voice when it comes to this idea.
Well, when a corporate, you know, again, people make decisions based on what they see on television. Most people do. Those awful political commercials, those are funded and paid for by people with money. I think it's a very, again, I think that Supreme Court case is almost a death knell, and I hate to be sound defeatist, but it's...
As Citizens United, yeah.
Yeah, it's an awful case. I mean, what it says is the corporations can do whatever they want to do, and you're going to see that. Again, I go back to people like Martin Luther King. Would they just roll over and say, no? You know, again, it takes citizen action. I think that people in the streets, people marching, people picketing, they get media coverage. That's the only way you get the media coverage is free, by the way. They'll come to you if you do the right kind of press releases. I talk about that in my book, Freedom Wars, that there's ways to get media attention. And so you just have to get organized. But again, it's going to take donating your time. If you don't do that, then if you have children, Lynn, I'd say with the 10 to 15 years, we're going to be in a total surveillance state if something's not done. I mean, it's just, that's the facts, folks. It's all out there. It doesn't take much time to go on the internet and discover that.
We got time for one more call. Shannon is in Charlottesville. Shannon, thank you for the call. Go right ahead.
Sure. Well, my problem is I don't feel like we're listened to anyway. As you just stated, the community group got together, was outspent 10 to 1. It was not voted in, and yet there's the red light cameras.
No, in Houston, they were outspent 10 to 1, but they still won. That was my point. They managed to get the red light cameras out of Houston. They were voted down in a citizen referendum on Election Day.
I gotcha. So
it works.
Did we vote on this?
Did we vote as citizens on the red light camera that goes live tomorrow in Albemarle County? Absolutely not. You were never asked.
Were we given the option?
Nope.
I was going to say I don't remember that.
Nope.
So why not?
That's a great question. Why not? We should be asking the Board of Supervisors. We should also be asking the Board of Supervisors why they're being so quiet about it and letting staff speak for them. Why aren't they coming out saying how they feel about it? I totally agree with you. They're sitting on their hands.
We don't feel like we're being listened to anyway. We don't feel like we're being asked our opinion in the first place, so then we just have to yell louder, I guess.
Yeah.
You're not being asked your opinion. That's absolutely correct. There's a reason these things move fast. They move quick. They're in before you know it, because once it's entrenched, the idea is that you cannot move them. I think you can move them, but it'll take a lot of work. It'll probably take a lawsuit.
Yeah. And again, the first person to get a red light camera ticket, call John Whitehead at the Rutherford Institute. It's online at rutherford.org. And John, what's the phone number?
978-3888.
978-3888. That's the number for the Rutherford Institute. And you want to give them a call if you get one of those traffic tickets in the mail. John, thank you for being here, and thank you for your new book.
Thank you, sir.
You've been listening to Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot. Charlottesville Right Now is broadcast live Monday through Friday on News Radio 1070 WINA from 4 to 6 p.m. Best-selling author and historian Coy Barefoot is the host and producer. To interact with Coy and his guests, you can call 434-977-1070. Coy can be reached at barefoot@wina.com. This audio download has been made possible by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network. Visit SeavillePodcast.com for more.